Mr. Speaker, how many world leaders for how many decades have seen and known what is coming, but have decided that it is more politically expedient to keep it behind closed doors? My generation and the generations after me do not have that luxury. In the year 2050, I will be 56 years old. Yet, right now, the average age of this 52nd Parliament is 49 years old. Okay, Boomer.
Did you write
it? I like this new table configuration, by the way.
I know. This is like
it's worked out really nice.
This table rules. I built this table out of pure reclaimed lumber.
That's very nice.
That I bought from what I think is a white supremacist in the valley.
Oh.
But he had good lumber.
Good lumber.
They usually, I don't want to say they usually do, but they seem like the kinds that would.
You know, I'm a Craigslist guy. You're right. A Craigslist guy. Yeah, so I
still hang out with some people that have bought stuff from Craigslist.
I think, did we meet on Craigslist? Pretty much.
No, kind of.
Almost. But I would find this guy that like sells reclaimed wood, and I went to his house. We like kind of became friends.
Right.
And he had like a farm with like lumber.
Right.
And he had this like large 160-pound dog. It looked like it ate people.
Nice.
Of maybe other races than white.
Okay. One of those.
But he had great lumber, man.
So did he, nice. Did he, what was the big giveaway that he was a white supremacist?
He definitely wasn't.
Can I guess?
But seemed like the. Sure, yeah.
He said Oriental when he was talking about an Asian person.
Oh, boy.
That's usually that's like the passive giveaway where they think that they're hiding it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they let that slip and they go, but they don't realize that is still not right.
Right.
It's a really good time.
Like, they're not going to say the N-word, but they're going to say Oriental.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like,
Orientals.
Oh, I know what other words you use.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
That's like a word cloud connector word.
Yeah, exactly.
It definitely is.
Exactly. Anyway, do you want to finish that story or should I intro us?
And then we killed a bunch of people. What's up with this pod?
Yeah.
This is DigiReddit, a weekly, we are weekly even though we took last week off, podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
My free day down here. And father of two.
We have another another free day. Papa Free Day times two. So if young Chuck wasn't enough.
Now we got young Hank.
They had another puppy. Hank the pup.
Had another puppy named Hank.
Named Hank.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So let's talk about naming children. So
yeah.
I definitely have like a thought process.
Yeah, so you're not naming your kids Juniper.
Or like,
right.
Or like,
or leather,
or yeah, like clouds,
yeah,
or leather.
You're like straight up, like 1960s, like station wagon salesman.
I want names that everybody can spell.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay,
you can class them up.
If you want to class them up, you can. But I don't know. I grew up with a name that nobody could understand or spell or right. hear, and just the amount of minutes I've spent re-explaining my name over the course of my life will be like 3 weeks.
Sure.
Which okay. I could have been in at Sandals Resort in yeah. Mazatlan.
That's fair.
Enjoying Shit. Myself.
Great.
So
point.
For that reason, my kid's name Hank.
Cool. So,
I like that. So I think this photo I saw on Reddit this week, we'll start talking about the front page before we start talking about the main topic of we're gonna talk about boomers. As if we don't talk about boomers enough. But as with most things on this podcast, as you know, we break the biggest cultural stories. And listen, we've been talking smack on boomers for
way before this
way,
was cool.
Way before okay boomers became right. like the hot new phrase. So we're going to talk a little bit about boomer tears. But before we do this, we're going to talk a little bit about the front page. Are we freestyling at Freed or are we going to go? Do you have a format? Because I got some photos I just want
to
talk about.
If there was something that caught your eye and you wanted to talk about, that now would be the time.
Right. Well, number one, I think this painting from this ice cream, local ice cream shop.
Yeah.
I saw that.
This reminds me of your family
cool.
for some reason, because there's a really good looking, nice man in the corner that looks like
Looks like George W., right?
It looks like a George W. painting for sure.
It does, but he appears, it kind of looks like George W. It
looks a little bit like, you know what else? It looks like Tom Goes to Mayor. You remember that movie or that show on Adult Swim?
No.
That was original Tim and Eric show, Tom Goes to the Mayor. Oh,
I don't,
classic.
I don't know if I've seen it.
But this is this photo or
this
painting.
Very Americana.
Very Americana, and on the right side of the photo, we have the parents and the grandmother, who all look like they're having a gleeful time.
Which one are the? Sorry, because everyone looks 80.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure which one you think is the parent and which one is the.
Oh, I guess you're right. There's three grandparents.
I think this one guy, because the guy there's a man, an older man looks like George W. with two silver haired women, and it, right. and it appears to be, I would say, both of the women are his wife.
Right.
And this is this is that Mexican compound, of Mormons.
Oh yeah.
I like that.
Right.
I think so.
That sex cult. Compound.
Wow, they are all so old.
Yeah. And then you have Hank and Chuck mm-hmm. on the corner with one of which has a black eye.
A massive
Man, it just
black
looks
eye.
Insane, this photo. I don't know who made this painting, but
I was just watching Veep last night and like there's a black eye joke in that one, but it's like you look like a southern wife who burned her husband's dinner.
Oh my god, that's amazing. That's one of the best written shows
it
on
is
TV.
I mean, the best show.
You know, we were talking briefly last night in our text exchange that now I'm like a deep Righteous Gemstones guy.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen
such
that.
Such a funny show.
What is it about?
It's about prosperity gospel.
Oh, that's right.
And it's got Danny McBride.
It's like the Joel Osteen story.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Joel Osteen story, and it's Danny McBride and the other guy from Vice Principals, his co-star on Vice Principals,
Walter Goggins.
who's a very underappreciated actor, I think.
He's definitely been, he's like slowly risen the ranks in the last like 6 years.
So what was he, what did he come from that suddenly were
He
were
was
here?
In Justified season one against a very handsome and slightly funny guy, Timothy Olyphant. He was like the bad guy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then he did Vice Principals
with Danny McBride. With Danny McBride. I think he co-wrote it with him.
Yeah, he might have co-wrote it.
He's very funny. He's very funny and he's a very good he's a very good physical comedian.
And he's in the new CBS hit comedy, The Unicorn.
Yeah, I saw that. Whoa. I think that he's
which is funny because he's done these like crazy roles.
Right.
R-rated funny characters. Yeah. And now he's in this kind of like puffy CBS comedy, which is actually like funny for a CBS comedy, but it's definitely not HBO comedy.
No,
it's a totally different thing.
I think he's like, remember when Sam Rockwell was just like taking roles because everybody loves Sam Rockwell and he's
now
just like,
he's
I'll do
huge.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a while where people were like, who?
You're
like,
yeah.
The greatest. You just don't know yet.
I mean, he's been one of my all time greats for a while.
Sam
I think
Rockwell.
Yeah.
Since the Green Mile, dude.
Was he in the Green Mile?
For me, it was Charlie's Angels.
Okay, I've never seen either of those movies. Evidently, I'm not as big a Sam Rockwell fan as I thought.
Yeah, no, clearly not.
I have been on a wild. I've been seeing.
You're
all
a Bob Fosse.
I'm a huge Bob Fosse fan. I've been seeing.
When I think of you, I think of choreography.
Yes.
exactly. Intelligent feet.
Exactly. I like some loose hips.
Loose.
If you will. I have been seeing all the hottest, most interesting films lately, which is rare for me. I'm not usually a go to movie theater guy, but
yeah.
Is this when you get into film and are you like in the film phase?
No, not really. I mean, I've always loved film, but I just like tend to fall asleep very quickly in them. So I like kind of resist the idea of going to movie theaters. It's just how I am. I'm like, I'm too on so that when I have a moment where I'm not on, I like my body goes, oh, this must be a bed wherever you are right now.
This needs to
shut dark.
Down. We got to shut this shit
down. So, but I
so you saw Joker.
Saw Lighthouse.
Lighthouse,
which is
a
new Robert Pattinson film.
Oh, you said it was great to me.
It's insane. It's so good. Robert Pattinson is one of he's truly one of the greats right now. Actually,
oh, this is cool.
He's
the
really
horror movie.
Oh, dude, he has shed his Twilight shit so hard.
Good for him.
And he talks smack about Twilight too.
Yeah,
because I just think he's realized it was like a. It was an early, maybe his agent was like, this will put you on the charts. And it did, but now he did that movie Good Time, which was a fucking amazing movie.
That was awesome.
And then Lighthouse, so it's literally just him and Defoe.
Wow.
In a fucking lighthouse together, the whole movie.
It's got like a Shining vibe almost.
It's a very Shining vibe. And in both Defoe and and Pattinson put on two of the best performances I've ever seen.
Wow. So, this is so cool. Yeah. Okay.
And then awesome. I saw...
Is Pattinson DeFriend and the other one's Defoe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, probably actually from the one Wikipedia.
More, is that kid? Dad jokes. Dad jokes that, surplus.
That should be on the poster.
Yeah.
One of them is DeFriend and the other is Defoe.
And then I also saw Parasite, which is that the other movie that people are just like, will not shut the
is
fuck
that
up
Korean?
About.
What is that?
Korean film.
It
done,
is?
Done by the guy.
Koreans love fucking Parasite monster films.
Well, this is
like, they're great.
It's a bit of a strange name for a film because it is a little bit of a horror film, and I understand the genesis of the word parasite in this context, but it's not, it will take you a while to come around to that title.
Are you watching these?
Interesting.
All at the theater.
Yeah.
You have to start saying theater.
Theater.
That helps.
So I'm like a big Arclight guy. Yeah. I enjoy the Arclight, but also shout out Alamo Drafthouse. Mm-hmm. Downtown Los Angeles is easily the best movie theater in LA right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So yeah, Alamo Drafthouse, made for film buffs, really nice bar.
Oh my God.
They bring food to your seat. It's like one of those places.
Maybe that's where I'll go to see Gemini Man starring Will Smith.
Nice. Clearly all seen the same films. But everybody, I recommend seeing each of those films. I know Joker is obviously a box office smash, but it is a genuinely good, unique film.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have problems with it. Some of it's well-founded, some of it's not. I think that it's at the very least, again, it's like Joaquin Phoenix is also at the absolute top of
wow.
the... He is at the top of the Hollywood's acting elite.
Wow.
You think he did keto? Dog boobs? Because I know you're a keto. Because he got skinny.
Yeah, he got
skinny.
Oh,
it's beyond skinny.
He's like
machinist
super...
shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. He must have done keto.
That's your move, right?
Constantly in
you're
ketosis.
On keto. Yeah, I mean, geez, the farts. Ugh.
Yeah.
You
know? I was on keto for the first 45 minutes of 2019. And then I fucked up and got a bagel or got a donut, I think.
Here at this podcast, break stories, we break keto.
That's true. What else is happening on the front page is worth talking about?
Well,
Dog Boobs and I were talking about this movies. Before you popped in, but the sort of Epstein didn't kill himself meme has just gotten in the last like 2 weeks.
Love it.
Has gotten really since we've been gone, like has gotten hot again, and it's great. Like
it's taken a really good form. Yeah,
especially on Reddit, are not letting this go.
Yeah,
and it's.
There's so many funny ones.
Yeah. And you just know. I just watched Succession, so I basically know how money and media works now.
Dude.
Basically a pro. I'm an insider.
Right, right.
And so you just know, like, Prince
Charles.
Prince Flippy Dick. As
is it Charles or Flip?
I think it's Andrew.
I thought it was... Oh, Andrew. None of them? All right.
Prince
Flippy
Dick. I
thought it was Charles, but maybe I don't even know.
But you know, like, you know,
monarchy.
The Queen is pals with whoever owns, like, all of TV, and they're like, let's, like, hush these stories.
Bob Murdoch.
Bobby Murdoch and Jimmy Fox and Nancy NBC.
Nancy NBC is so corrupt.
So this is what I think is interesting. Go ahead.
But no, you just have to assume, like, all of these things have been squashed because it's the most fascinating story.
Easily.
Of the year or of multiple years, and nobody's talking about it on the news.
Yeah,
and so
totally.
And you're going like, what? And so it just reeks of being like tamped down and squashed. And so I love that people are just coming out, especially in a place like Reddit, and like bringing it back up. And there's some great memes, obviously.
Right.
And this one, 16 down, it says Modesto, California is woke, and it's like one of these traffic signals.
Right.
And it's like one of those orange traffic light signals, like on the highway, you know, it says like, you know, street delays, 15 minutes. I just sent it to you guys. But somebody like whoever the programmer was wrote, Epstein was murdered. Like on like the highway sign. And you're like, yeah, like people aren't going to let this go. Especially now with the internet and Reddit and everything. It's like, we have our own media conglomerate, Reddit the people.
Right.
And we can keep the story in the loop, which is cool.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think what I find really interesting about the Epstein didn't kill himself meme is it actually, in a way, reminds me a little bit of the tone of the boomer hate thing that we're coming into, the OK Boomer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's for people who don't understand. So it is taking the meme. So here's the problem with the Epstein thing is like it will not get solved, right? It's just by the nature of the crime, we're just not going to solve it because the people that are in power can't, right? But historically,
you could get some deathbed stuff going on, hopefully.
I mean, I love the idea of us solving it. I think it'd be great. I just think it's like it's fallen into Area 51 territory.
Yeah, JFK, 51,
where it's just going to be one of those things that people speculate about forever, because like clearly it's fishy. Clearly clearly he didn't kill himself, but like
the 12 richest people in the world are making sure we don't hear about it.
Exactly.
And we're not going to hear
about it. Guess what?
Exactly.
They didn't plan for Reddit.
Totally.
Well,
this is the thing. It's like, I don't know if Reddit sleuthing is going to solve this, but I do think that the jokes of Epstein didn't kill himself, I think the people that are, the people that have created this monstrosity, this is why the boomer thing is related, is I think that the jokes are going to perpetuate. They're going to constantly be talking about it, and they're going to be like, shut up, stop talking about it. And then eventually it's not going to solve anything. It's just going to annoy people forever, right?
It's like a subversive, like, that's what it reminds me of, the boomer thing too, because it feels like this point, this almost like the pinnacle of cynicism,
right?
Totally. For like our generation coming up with, I'm not saying I come up with memes because I don't, but
you speak,
you know,
in
people
memes,
who come up
honest.
With memes,
right?
But it's like, I think we've all just kind of come to the sad conclusion that, you know, we can't change some of this shit. So let's make memes about it. And it's a joke for all of us. And we can, you know, at least it's like a look around and be like, we all know what's going on. At least we know we're not crazy. Yeah.
The flippant disrespect annoys people in power.
Yes.
Which I think is like kind of the thing that is somewhat helpful here. Because it is that it's cynical, but it's realistically cynical, where it's like, the Epstein thing is just so wild, because everybody, the second he went to jail or prison, everybody collectively was like, he's not getting out of that jail alive. Someone's going to kill him.
And then
fucking a couple days later, she's like, he strangled himself from a 5-foot bed frame.
That was one of the craziest things, because it was something that everybody was like, oh, dude, this guy's not going to prison.
Yeah.
Like, guaranteed something's going to happen to him. And then it did. And we were all like,
I know.
It actually did happen.
I know. We all said
that's,
it. But
that's the admission of Bill Gates, Bill Clinton.
Bill Gates
Andrew.
Is a funny one to bring up in this situation.
Every dude in power wants to hook up with a 17-year-old model from Brazil.
Why don't we talk about Bezos? Because Bill Gates at least is trying to be a decent person still.
Why do you think he's trying to make you think he's decent, dude?
Yeah.
Because he's been down on that island, pedophiling up, dude, surfing. You know that guy's riding a longboard in his pants, dude.
I love
a longboard in his pants.
He's the cornerstone to it all, dude. Bill Gates is like the biggest creep.
And this is why, and I'll say this every day for the rest of my life, John McAfee is the man.
Damn.
John McAfee's the man.
Because he's just like, I'm crazy. I'm going to continue my brand of crazy.
You know,
ain't nobody stopping me.
You know, I was thinking about, like, as it relates to the Epstein world of the story, you know, it's pretty apparent that wealthy people in power love to go to islands and have sex with young women who are slaves. Like, that seems to be like a human truth.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know, like throughout the ages, like there's been that island.
Fact. Yeah.
Like in like the Roman times.
Right.
There was that place. We've all seen Game of Thrones. Like, there's one of those. I'm judging all of this by fictitious
that theme or that plot.
I've always like looked at that and been like, this is like a sign that humans are garbage, because like when we have no limitations, all we want to do apparently is fuck kids.
It's chimpanzee like alpha animal shit. Like,
it's disgusting.
I feel like we've talked about this on the pod before, where it's when all of the world's rules do not apply to you. It's that you get a rush out of going to the furthest corner to see if the rules still apply to you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a thrill.
I think it's like, cause it is like one of those things where it's just like, if we were like, when you make $200,000 a year, like you're allowed to murder one person a year without asking any questions. Right.
We would do it.
We'd be like,
I'd do it.
I'm going to
every year.
Two, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to get two. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's a
so
good point.
It's just the way I think nobody... that people are wired that way. I don't know why. I mean, this is also one of the things.
Who follows
where,
the speed limit, dude?
Well, we don't. We also don't.
I just wing it.
Well, the speed limit thing is interesting because, like, I think it's a good idea to follow the speed limit for obvious reasons, but, like.
Loser.
But the speed limit is, at a certain point, the speed limit is, it almost, even though it is written in as a law,
in like the 30s.
No, it's like it changes according to the speed of society. So it's like there is a speed limit, but if everybody is not going the speed limit, then you not going the speed limit is actually causing more problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Like cheating on your taxes. Like if everyone's doing it,
right,
you're going to also go a little bit over the speed limit,
right,
if you know what I mean.
Precisely.
So, yeah, it's a strange, this is also a stark reminder.
Back to the point of the Epstein thing. If that seems to be a truth of people like high wealth, people in power, like, and this seems to be like a thing that they want and will always do. Like, why don't we just talk about it and say like, this is a thing. Especially if you're a young girl, like, watch out because these people exist.
Right.
This is what it looks like. This is what you should do to avoid it. If you want to avoid it or not, I don't know. But like, to pretend it's not a thing
is the problem.
Even though we know it is a thing,
right,
sets people up, I think, to fall into these pitfalls and these traps.
It's like abstinence-only sex education.
Honestly, yeah, it feels like that to me. I'm like, there's going to be drugs. There's going to be creeps with money. And they're going to be coming after you. Like, you need to know what they look like and how it approaches, you know, how it unfolds.
I'm going teach you the sword fighting skills because you need to be able to protect yourself out there. So that's why you need to teach your kids.
That was my thought from this. I don't know. Let's talk about like just it as a thing.
Yeah.
And then that way we can know how to respond to it.
I also think that I like the idea of recognizing the evil. I mean, you said something interesting there too, which is like,
we break a lot of big stories here.
Yeah, we do.
But you can say like the idea of saying you can do it or you don't, like you cannot do it or you can do it. It's up to you. Like, is it really interesting approach to this? Because like there are those creeps with money who are going to hit on young women and whatever. It's like, you as a young girl, like, I'm not saying I necessarily subscribe to this, but it's an interesting way to think about it. It's like, you as a young girl from a weird small part of town in like a weird country where there aren't a lot of opportunities.
What town are you from?
Parkersburg, Ohio, or Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Maybe it's a town like that.
But if you're from fucking, you know, rural Siberia, and it's just like, do you want to go to Jeffrey Epstein's island and maybe have a potential out of life? It's like, you can or you can't, but you should know what it is. You should know the reality of it and not live in an illusion. I mean, I think that's interesting. I mean, it's the same thing with people when they come to Hollywood, be like, just so you know, there are creepy dudes who are going to hit on you and offer you roles. This isn't a myth. This is real.
Yeah.
So
here are ways that you can play them. Well, take the role and just lead them on.
Here's ways you can play them, but also it's like, you can choose or not choose to do that. I'm sure there are a lot of women who have had careers who chose to go with the Harvey Weinstein
Gwyneth
thing,
Paltrow, right? Goop. Harvey Weinstein.
Goop, y'all.
But it's interesting.
Triangle. Like, connect it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a strange, I don't know. It's a funny, that's an interesting approach. I'm not saying I subscribe to that.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. But it's an interesting thought in that process. So another thing that I thought was, there are actually a lot of, part of the boomer thing that we're actually going to be discussing here shortly. Dog, do you have to leave in half an hour?
Yes.
You have a hard out?
Got a hard out.
Cool. So,
let's get hard into it then.
Well, so I think that I saw one story. This is only kind of related, but it's an interesting fact. So I saw this yesterday. So tonight's starting point guard for the Warriors, his name's Kai Bowman, qualifies for low income housing in San Francisco.
Who does?
The starting point guard for the Warriors right now.
Oh my God.
Right. How fucking insane is that?
Because what's the minimum? I mean, does that mean you got to make under like 120 grand or something?
Wow.
None of this adds up to me, because he must be making 500 grand.
No, he's making the entry level kind of like starting.
What is that, 350?
I think it's 80,000, I think.
At the NBA?
At the NBA. Well, it is at the NBA, but it's like a
junior league.
So the
it's like when you're featured on SNL, right?
Kind of. So the NBA...
It's like a red shirt year or something.
Golden State is historically bad right now. Like, they have a lot of injuries, and they just like have kind of, their team has been disassembled. So they've kind of pulled in some scrubs. So there are some people who are just on either rookie contracts, G League contracts, whatever.
Got it.
But also in conjunction with that is the fact that San Francisco is this like absolutely broken, fucked world right now.
Yeah.
It's like a fake dystopian, destroyed, kind of scorched earth classist society, right? So
hey, Facebook, save the world.
Facebook, save the world. Jesus Christ.
Uber, trying to make the world a better place.
Right.
Hey,
right.
What I'm getting at is like these tech companies and their mission statements.
Yeah, it's so contrived and so stupid.
It's so funny to me.
It's
they're like we're just trying to connect Airbnb. Everybody's welcome.
Right.
Unless you don't got cashish.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
I saw the other day that I think Las Vegas has an amendment or has some sort of law that is being voted on right now that would make it illegal to sleep outside. Like they're literally criminalizing homelessness.
Vegas is doing it?
Yeah.
They're probably looking at what's going on here and saying... It's tricky because there was a law that made it illegal here.
Right.
They took it to the Supreme Court. It got overturned, which this was like in 2007. And we're at like the 10-year plus effect of that, where it's just like 80,000 people living on the streets. So it's like, okay, that doesn't really work.
But what's the
other one doesn't.
Is we got to fucking give affordable housing.
I got a good idea.
Problem?
But that's what's so fucked is like, the housing proposition a couple years ago that was voted in, and it was basically we're going to allocate this much money in Southern California to build affordable housing. Nothing's happened in the past like 2 years since that happened.
They're building they're building 40 apartments down the street.
And everything they're building is just luxury apartments here. I'm like, they just renovated this like dumpy apartment complex around the corner from me, and now a two bedroom's going for $4,500.
$4,500
for a two bedroom. Like, what the fuck?
So here's an interesting. So this is actually the story that has kind of taken over Reddit this week. I think it's been one of the top of this past week, and it's on. It was from news, and this perfectly segues into the conversation about boomers, of course. But is millennials earn 20% less than the boomers did, despite being better educated?
Wow.
From CNBC. And a lot of what I find compelling about this story, because these stories pop up every once in a while. And this is, by the way, when we were talking about what we were going to do for today's episode, I proposed to talk about boomers, obviously, as like the fucking the veteran ageist of our pod. We've been on this bandwagon for a while.
Oh yeah.
Or rather, we are the conductors of this bandwagon.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you see a lot of these things pop up on Reddit, because Reddit is largely. It is a largely millennial-based platform, and then I would say that the people that are not millennials, because we do have some people that live in this pod that are not millennials, like our boy Darth, is I believe actually from some of what we've heard from Darth is like he's a bit older.
Our boy Roy too.
Well, Roy, of course, I don't know if he listens to this
because
we are part of the deep state, but
that guy is the president of baby boomers.
Yeah,
he's the president of baby boomers, but Roy's funny because he's. Let me talk about this article, but I think that, so the baby boomer thing is what I like about this okay boomer thing is it's become like a slang for a specific kind of person that gets offended by this. The people that are not that don't care, right? Because it doesn't really affect them and they're just, probably on our side,
sticks
right?
Sticks and stones.
I mean, this is part of the reason why Reddit is so Bernie heavy. Like, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's the sub called Our President. Is the Bernie Sanders subreddit. There's actually two subreddits. It's Our President and Sanders for President are the two Bernie Sanders subreddits.
Oh, nice.
But both of them frequently have posts that rise to the top of Reddit's front page, which I think is very indicative of kind of the overall stance of Reddit, which is like Reddit is kind of a working class platform, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not, you're not seeing, like you are seeing a lot of people that are kind of like the wealthy elitists of course, but a lot of the people that kind of really populate Reddit tend to be people who are like, yo, this is fucked. Like
it's a populist platform.
It's a populist platform, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, so this is this article that was millennials earn 20% less than baby boomers did despite being better educated is kind of like a run of the mill article that you see pop up every once in a while. But some of the comments I think are really, really interesting, right? Was at the top comment right now, it was posted one day ago. That article was 2 days ago, by the way. So rent has gone up almost 300% since the time when boomers were at our age renting apartments. My rent is more than a mortgage payment, yet it's taken years and years to be able to afford a down payment for a home, and I'm not even close. Yep. And then the post directly below that is, yep, sad to say, I will literally have to wait till I inherit my parents' house and use my rent money to pay the mortgage, which is the same price. I don't know if it means I'm lucky or unfortunate now.
Ugh.
And a lot of the comments that I'm seeing apart from, and this is something I've noticed too, and you know, we all know people who have this, which is fine, but a lot of them are like, only succeed if you have a parent who's willing to help, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're dead in the water, like if you don't have the resources through inheritance or a parent, then you're kind of fucked,
yeah,
right? Because of the way everything has moved. And that is also a byproduct of the boomers, right? Which is like, we will only take care of our own. We will not take care of society as a whole.
Yep.
Which is creating this weird classism within the millennial class as well, which I think is fascinating, right? Where you're, I mean, we're seeing this kind of in the art. I see this in the art world a lot, and I'm sure you see this, Fried, kind of working in TV, where, you know, if you can fuck off and do abstract experimental shit all day without any recourse, then it gives you a lot more luxury to do that. If you have to fucking work, right?
Yeah.
Then you don't get to create superfluous stuff. No. You know?
I think that...
That's why the majority of people, I feel like, our age are just exhausted. Like,
right.
We're just constantly working to make ends meet. And, I mean, I can't say most of us, but I know myself and my, right. You know, my Gap card debt.
Right.
You live paycheck to paycheck. Even yeah. when you're, like, getting more money, like... Right. Rent goes up and
yeah, and taxes and everything.
And taxes, I mean, just
a simple comment. Everybody under the age of 40 is well aware that we're being fucked unless they have rich parents.
Yes, that's exactly right. And it's weird because I think like capitalism for the most part worked really well for the baby boomers.
Well,
it worked great. Like
they were the apex. I mean, they were the ones who got the opportunity to exploit it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point of the, that's what baby boomers technically means, is the fact that it was after the war
and they were booming,
and when things were fucking hot, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the parents were just like, oh my god, this is the best time ever to have yeah. a kid. Everybody's fucking rich, everybody's great, we have a killer middle class, everybody's getting jobs at factories. So those baby boomers exploited the
totally
the rise of the capitalist system,
but then they refused to like acknowledge that, like right. I was talking to Clensington, my right. father mm. recently. Like in the last few months, and we were talking about...
Was he sitting in his velvet chair back to you?
He was in his home office
oh
in a leather-studded chair with a martini in one hand.
Jesus Christ.
And
you were sitting on the floor.
Yeah, and a fidget spinner in the other. And he said, oh, my, we were talking about career stuff.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, man, I remember just like in my 40s, like that was the shit, like... Things were good. We were just like raking money in. Like it, that was right. So when you get to be that age, and I'm like, Dad, you realize that was before the recession.
Right.
And like his face went totally blank and he changed the subject.
Really?
He does not recognize that was like that. It was a benefit of the times. He's of the mind that no, he was a hustler and he went out there and he did it. And I'm not, you know,
right.
Clensington, I'm sure was a hustler.
Sure.
But it was like absolutely no recognition of, well, you were living in economic golden era during
right,
that
right,
time. Like you're, right. you mm-hmm. moved from Illinois. He moved from Illinois to California and basically doubled his pay in
right.
a year. And it's like, that's really awesome.
Well, also, by the way, that would happen to us, right? I mean, like, I think we're probably, generally speaking, making double that what we would make in certain parts of the
True.
Country. And we are not ignorant to that fact. That what we are suggesting, though, is that the way in which inflation, things like the housing crisis, all of those things have gone, is it has created a gulf of, it's created, there's a superficiality to what you have to do to achieve that. And I think the baby boomers just collectively go like, well, when I was your age, it was, you know, this is how I did it. So this is how you should do it too,
yeah.
using my model. And then you go, bro, your college costs $5,000.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm going to be in, I don't have this situation, but this is a thing that a lot of people have, is like, mm-hmm. you have college debt for the rest of your life. Right.
Yeah.
And I think,
don't get me started on college. You know how I feel.
Oh,
don't go.
Actually, you know, I do want to get you started on college, because this is something that you mentioned the other day, which is you also have two young kids now. You're raising two young auto mechanics, and
That's
I don't
right.
know how Fuck they're yeah. going to be able to.
That's right. These guys wrench
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
How much is wrench school these days, though?
It's going up. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it's probably as much as a 4-year
right.
liberal arts degree now.
No, it's funny. Like, since the 80s or probably the 90s, like, promoting going to college became just sort of like the drumbeat of all of the politicians. Like, you go to college, it's what you need to do. But that seemed to be in step with like these federal loan programs.
Right, right,
and so
exactly.
like politicians who are going to directly, like the government who's going to directly benefit from loans is
right.
pushing loans.
Right.
So it seems like they have a self-interest there, and they're pushing loans on kids who don't know what the fuck loans are
right.
with crazy interest rates. And then they're stuck in this debt for the rest of their life. And was it worth it, right? So, like, my argument's been this for a couple of years, and everyone kind of scoffs me off. It's like, I don't think that's that's a good trade for college. Like, right. If you could do college for $5,000, I would say go to college.
For sure.
But for $200,000 or $150,000 of debt, like, you're never going to get ahead when you have that weight on you.
Totally.
And so you start talking about this and people go, what are you talking about? College is the way to get ahead. And I'm like, it's actually the way to get behind.
Yep,
if you put $100,000 in what your college fund was into just buying some piece of property when you were 18,
right.
And you just kind of like took care of it and sat on it and paid it off with your job at Trader Joe's,
right?
You'd be better off in 4 years than if you went to college. You would be, and the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think
you'd have a rental income. You could actually start to build something.
I think the rest of your life is a really interesting and important framing for that, because I think that is the thing that we're forgetting with all this stuff. Like, my girlfriend and I have been having a lot of conversations about life insurance and the prospect of getting life insurance. And I say
no.
I'm on the fence. I mean, I think there's two ways to think about it, but the main thing that's always hanging me up is the idea of a perpetual long-term investment. Because I look at the way that our society is moving and kind of some of the issues that are burgeoning. And I think that the way that people are changing careers, the change in industries, the change in the economy. And it just seems like anything beyond a five-year plan is a pointless consideration. Because you just kind of go like, nobody knows what that's going to look like.
No.
You know what I mean? And like when we were in college... college still seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
Now it is an objectively bad idea.
Yeah.
Right? So
that seems to be this younger generation's. I don't know. I guess with my kids, and I would say, well, you can go to college if you want.
Right.
I would never recommend a loan.
No. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
I would say no. And if I can pay for it, I will.
Right.
But if I couldn't pay for it, I would say, be really good at sports and get a scholarship and go to like a small school that you can afford or something, or, you know, academic scholarships. I mean, kids like Chuck and Hank, you know, those kids get straight A's.
Oh yeah.
School.
Oh, yeah.
Rent school.
I mean,
they're going to be able to throw a football at least 300 yards.
Yes. And at risk of, I know that as three millennials ranting about millennial problems, I don't know if that's particularly appealing. So I want to move on to actually the sub.
Yeah.
Which I think has a lot to do with this. And again, the part of the reason we're talking about this is because that article that came out this week. But another aspect of this that we're talking about this is because of the OK Boomer, the meme of OK Boomer that has kind of taken the internet by storm recently, somewhat also propagated by this New Zealand politician who said OK Boomer in Parliament in response to being heckled by boomers. And everybody collectively was like, hell yeah. And then boomers were just like, that's a hate crime. And we're just like, yeah, okay.
Everyone's
boomer.
Like, you know what? Fuck off, I suppose. Exactly.
So this is a sub. So the sub is Boomer Tears, right? So r/ Boomer Tears. And then this has, dog, do you want to do the special stuff talking about this side?
The special stuff, yes. Right. So
put on your best cream voice.
Okay.
This sub has only been around for 7 months, by the way.
That's insane.
I know.
So Boomer Tears has like 16,000 members right now. And so here we celebrate those sweet, sweet Boomer Tears from all over the internet. Post any sour or garbage logic from boomers explaining why they're special or why they're complaining.
Right, right.
So it's everything is basically like, you know, every time baby boomers complain about literally anything.
Right.
Like, what was a... it was like when they're saying, like, saying boomers, like saying the N-word.
Right.
What was that bit? It was like a bit
John Mulaney.
Yeah.
So this is the top post currently. It has 802 upvotes. And this is the word they used was not boomer in the sketch. And this was John Mulaney's stand-up. And I remember this. And it's really funny. So he said, you can't use boomer. Boomer is as bad as the N-word. I don't remember the word that they used for boomer. Maybe it was like white trash or something.
Cracker,
I think. It was cracker. And he said, first of all, no, it's not. Do you know why I know it's not? Because we're using the word boomer and we're not using the N-word. When comparing the badness of two words and you can't say one of the words, that's the worst one.
Yep.
which is very funny and very true. Because this is actually something, I haven't found exactly why this has come up. I know that there was a conservative commentator named Bob Lansbury.
A
tweet by this guy. He said that comparing boomer to the N-word, and he kind of made the case that they are one and the same.
Yes.
which I think is really interesting, because I think that part of what that's implying is that there is a... So first of all, that's what we like to hear, is that these people are genuinely being offended mm-hmm. by the term boomer, which also is a category, right? These are baby boomers. They are categorically being described as that. How right. fucking long have we been called millennials as a yeah. general prerogative or a general derisive, right?
Yeah.
That nobody gives a fuck, right? No. And then we start calling boomers boomers and they all get their fucking panties in a bunch and I say,
yeah,
fuck them.
So this was
usually my stance.
This you know was it, on the top page about right. this real, this guy, oh God, it was posted by Gallo Boob, right. but it probably was not Gallo Boob's thing. Right. My girlfriend's explanation of why OK Boomer became a thing is spot on. Millennials tried for so long to explain using facts and evidence that they don't actually have it that easy and they aren't just lazy, but it became right. very clear that boomers don't care about facts, evidence, or reality for that matter. So this is what's resulted. We've given up. I feel like OK Boomer is kind of the equivalent of, wow, you're so horribly wrong, but I don't have the time or energy to repeatedly explain something to you that you're not going to listen to anyway.
Exactly. That sums it up. That honestly, and that's, I think, yeah. where people are getting offended. I mean, this is, I'm trying to figure out, I don't know where this all came from, like where the real derision is coming from, but it reminds me, it's a little bit of the Moscow Mitch thing too, where mm-hmm. like Mitch McConnell was like, nothing hurts me, I'm impenetrable. And then all of a sudden you go like, okay, Moscow Mitch. And he goes, hey, that is uncalled for.
That is not cool.
That is unpatriotic. And we just go, okay, fucking, yeah. okay, boomer.
I yeah. feel like millennials have now realized, like, oh, we own this space, like right. the irreverent, weird, cynical, like, meme world. And exactly. it's like, we just have to make fun of them because they don't understand it. They don't understand how to, like, fight that. Well, we've tried to fight with logic exactly. for a while.
I really hope that it becomes I hope that it becomes more of an actionable thing too. I mean, this is the thing. It's like just annoying these people is one thing, but getting them out of office, getting them out of power positions, voting in people that even if they are boomers, because again, like OK Boomer is interesting because, and this is the funny thing about millennials too, is like you see a lot of millennial people say things about millennials, right? As if it doesn't also include them, but it's the same thing with the boomer thing where it doesn't necessarily mean the generation. It means people of that generation that embody the generational attitude.
Yes.
Or people that are not of that generation that embody the generational attitude. Like there are like, you know, Stephen Miller, who's like the 27-year-old, you know, or like whatever Trump employee that like loves being racist. Says yeah. insanely heinous shit, also like looks like he's in his mid-50s, was actually like 25 or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like he is, like you say okay boomer to people like that, right?
Yeah.
But you also say okay boomer to like Clensington and mm-hmm. people like that who literally just like openly deny kind of the aspects of this that are problematic, right? So, Bob Lansbury, I think this is the original tweet that has kind of taken on some of the heat. So, boomer is the N-word of ageism. Being hip and flip does not make bigotry okay, nor is a derisive epithet acceptable because it is new, right? So
hip and flip.
Yeah, hip and flip.
Already they lost me.
Really, yeah, really sounds like he knows what hip means. Yeah, yes.
What a boomer.
What a fucking yeah, boomer.
So the response to that is saying your generation's official name is the equivalent to the most heinous racial slur in America is some real boomer shit.
You know what's which
is
funny,
absolutely true.
The boomers who were like the youngest boomers were like 18 in the mid-60s or something like that.
Right.
So they were kind of coming up at the 68 summer of love, all that stuff. Like they were fighting against their parents' generation,
right?
Who were called the greatest generation or the silent generation,
right?
But they thought those people were square and like weren't open to new ideas, and they shit on their parents' generation a lot. So, and then they came out and they were like the hippies. And I was like, now boomers have sort of become their parents' generation in that they now are the hated ones.
Right.
And their kids, or you know, the millennials essentially are the ones that are revolting against them being
right.
douche holes. Interesting how you become the man, you know, like eventually when you get the cheddar, you get the power and then you become right. the man, and then the young people hate you and they yeah. want to overthrow you. Like that seems to be the normal cycle of things. So I'm wondering how we millennials are going to overthrow. And I got a couple ideas.
Okay, let's hear it.
Call let's it. Hear it, man.
Yeah.
I think this would be fun. Like if every boomer had their sort of like their collective wealth
mm-hmm.
in like this, some kind of a lottery ticket.
Okay.
And, you know, the lottery tickets are forfeited, and they do not want to forfeit them, but they're forcefully taken away. And they go to this like system, and you, the millennial, like plays the lottery to win their wealth card.
Oh, fun.
And, you know, they're going to die anyway. I mean, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like,
they can't take it with them.
It'd be cool. Like, obviously, like right now, there's this thing called inheritance where it like goes to your family.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what if you could redistribute it to random people who just get to win it and play some kind of a cool Hunger Games type
That'd
scenario?
That'd be fucking awesome.
Be a little more exciting, right. That's for
would,
one.
It would, and it would kill, what do you call it? Kill the nepotism bullshit.
Yeah, and then you get some people who really need money winning. You get some rich people who don't need money who also win. But hey, that's just a game. You got to play the game.
Yeah. Right. Randomness is what makes
that's
it
just,
fair.
I mean, that's just one idea if I run for...
Right.
That's a really good platform to run on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's
Boomer
it's
lottery. Yeah, Boomer retirement lottery.
That's right.
It's interesting because a lot of people attribute this to, like, so millennial has become the derisive for youth ageism, though it's not exclusively that. I mean, I think people are also saying millennial as it pertains to, like, Gen X and shit.
Also, whiny, like, you know, it's like synonymous whiny, complainy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fix my problems for me, but it's like, the problems, anyway.
Yeah, and I think the okay boomer thing is kind of the exact opposite, and I think it's again this weird, it's a really interesting phenomenon that I hope continues to expand deeply into the future. I think that's kind of my stance on this, and that's, you know, this sub is interesting because I was hoping that this sub was going to have more of seeing instances where like the baby boomers are actually complaining, and we're seeing kind of a lot of like okay boomer opportunities. A lot of it is kind of the things that you hear a lot, which we've already seen. And this is kind of a collection of all the issues that you see popping up, which is like, you know, a Business Insider report about how millennials are killing Applebee's and, and Buffalo Wild Wings as kind of like just a random thing, which is, you know, and that article of course is about how young people aren't buying at these chains as much anymore. And then, but the way that the article's articulated is it kind of blames millennials for something. And then, you know, the retort is like, okay, boomers are killing the planet in healthcare. Right.
Yeah. I was going to bring up, I mean, and we could probably sum it up in 7 minutes before Doug Bruce has to leave, but the economic sort of principles that are extremely complex and interwoven that sort of the baby boomers have put in place from the 60s, 70s on, right, have sort of like created the environment today that we're in for the millennials. Like, what is it like in the, is it the 80s? Is it like Reagan? Is it like, do you have like an understanding of how
this happened?
Cause it feels like, banks, loans, debt sort of became this commodity that if you had money and income, taking out loans and buying more things was a good move.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you didn't, then you became this person on the outside. So like the wealthy few sort of became wealthier.
Right.
And then the outside poor became poorer.
Well, I think
so this divide started. And I mean, it feels like it was like an 80s Wall Street laws changed.
Yeah.
And
there are, I think there are some, I mean, this is a complicated question because there are,
I'm trying to find like a tight article that sort of says like, it was this, this, and this. Well, and like, I know there were some Clinton laws that were part of it.
I think it was, I mean, one of the big ones was Citizens United, right? That's always been the thing that is kind of, that a lot of people point to as one of the big changing points in our world, is where, when suddenly you literally gave companies the opportunity to participate in governance in the same way that normal Americans do, which obviously they don't.
Right.
Right? The fact that like Walmart can give, you know, even if it's shadowed in a super PAC, they can give $500,000 or $500 million or whatever to any given politician if they really feel like they want.
And the baby boomers did that because they were...
Well, that was a... I mean, this is the thing about the boomers, right? The problem with the boomers is not that they have all acted evilly and then... Or they've all acted with evil intent and then it's passed on to us. The problem is that evil things have happened under their watch and then they ignorantly ignore the effects that it has had on society.
The unintended consequences.
Yeah, they don't exist,
right? It's not
their
fault. Yeah, it's like, oh, it wasn't me, yeah.
I mean, it'd be the equivalent, it'd be the equivalent of like us being like, you know, like the vaping thing continues to get out of control. We know that the vaping thing has become a problem where a lot of people are getting sick now,
yeah,
right? And then we start having to...
That's why we've all started smoking.
Right, exactly. But, you know, we all have to pay a little bit more tax for the vaping issue, right? Because they're because it's having a huge toll on our healthcare, for instance. And then us being like, well, I don't understand why I have to pay taxes for those kids vaping. It'd be like, no, this was something that has happened that we allowed to happen in our governance. We did not fucking pay attention to it. Now this, now we're dealing with the negative consequences. And if we want our society to get better, right, we have to pay for the people that are struggling through this thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just a lot of things like that where the boomers go like, well, I don't understand why I need to pay taxes out of my Medicaid for poor people. And we go,
you realize you're not billionaires. Yeah.
And
right,
also
guys?
Like, there's a system that has been created that has become antiquated because of bad political decisions under your watch that you are only benefiting from as a dying person. Yeah. Right. Like, we get that selfishness is the native way that society works, but like that,
what if
we're making it worse? I don't know. It's
what if every boomer, this is not just boomer, but like,
right,
in your last like 5 years of life, it's going to sound terrible.
Right.
But you know what? We're controversial on this pod.
Right.
like those last couple years of healthcare, which are, I think, like probably 80% of the cost of healthcare, whatever it is, right, nationally.
Right.
Like if you could take that, you know, the magic pill that sends you off to Valhalla, and sort of skip the care that you go through in the last couple of years, and then that cost savings could be put back to like helping the young generation in need. Seems like a fix. You gotta, so what? You gotta, you know, kill off a couple million people, I guess.
So we're talking about killing people now?
Well, I think end of life healthcare is a major cost.
I think end of life health. Well, this is a big issue with boomers, right? I mean, there is a huge amount of boomers.
If you could redirect some of that cost to helping younger people to flatten out, just to shuffle the spending, it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
it sounds like cold, and I'm not trying to be cold. I'm just trying to be economical.
But, I think that there are some massive institutional. I mean, it's so hard to decipher exactly why some of these things have happened. And again, it's, you know, okay, boomer. I mean, this is the interesting thing about okay, boomer is like, there's people like Greta Thunberg who have come into existence, who just the mere fact that she fucking exists has made boomers upset, right? Because there is a redistribution of the social power in society that boomers are resisting. And that is the problem. It's like, it's less about the fact that, like, again, when Applebee's is starting to go out of business and then boomers go, but I like Applebee's. This is bullshit. Why are, like, millennials don't know what's good, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is a change in the social voice, and there's a change in, like, kind of the influence of what is and isn't a part or should be a part of society.
So,
and that is making, that is what makes boomers upset. So I guess what you're saying is like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I don't know. It's a strange.
If I'm going to sum up baby boomers here, they've been talking shit for a long time. And you talk shit, you get hit. Am I right? And we're hitting back now, okay?
Well, man,
some advice to boomers too, maybe. This is crazy. It's like, listen, right? Listen to what people are saying that you don't think you should listen to because they're idiots.
Do you think this is why Bernie Sanders is so popular? Because I think that Bernie Sanders is obviously, this is what's interesting about this. This is why I think in my head, I'm like a little bit, I start kind of, the mazes that I'm going down of logic, yeah, I think start to hit dead ends, is because Bernie Sanders as a quintessential boomer in a lot of ways, like a very old man who has been in politics for a long time, who's whatever, he listens to what people are saying about modern society and goes, okay, yeah, I want to try to fix that. Right.
Yeah. From the point, like, he's listening to the populist of the young people versus listening to the person paying him.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting because
there's not that many people not taking money.
Well,
politics.
This is the, it's not taking money in politics, but it's also like, this is, I think, the big issue that people have. This is why Clendington is such a problem and whatever. It's like,
He's a great guy.
The boomer mentality is I know best, right? And that is the issue. Is like that there's a thing where we all go, No, you don't. Like, we live in a digital world now where the society has changed, and we're seeing ripples of you thinking that you know best and making bad, dumb decisions. Like, this reminds me, one of my jobs once, I remember having a creative director. We were pitching some campaign, and my buddy had told me he was the main creative on the job, and he put forward Bill Murray. And the creative director was like, Bill Murray hasn't been relevant since Ghostbusters, right?
Whoa!
And it was one of those things. We could probably do a sound effect there. Man, yeah, there we go. That's pretty much it.
Perfect.
Yeah, an idiot.
But it was one of those things, like, that to me, it anecdotally sums up this attitude of just
right.
I know what's cool, and this is cool in 1984, right?
Yeah.
And you go, what are you talking about? I mean, and that's a lot of the conversations on this sub, to be completely honest, is a lot of things where, you know, like grandma, I mean, there's one, like baby boomers, like here's this, you know, this is a snowflake thing too, right? We hear about the snowflake thing and then all of a sudden we go, okay, boomers, and then everybody fucking gets all out of, you know, it freaks out. But so this is a tweet that says, baby boomers, the youth of today is so disrespectful. Also, baby boomers, I asked for a burger with only ketchup, but you didn't put pickles on it, and I like pickles, so I'm gonna need to scream at you until your manager offers me a coupon for a free large coffee.
I do see a lot of like indignant boomers,
right?
You can see that like 60s protest vibe in them, like,
totally.
I'm gonna stand up to the powers and I'm gonna make it right. But you see it in places like the fast food restaurant.
Yeah, like to a waiter. And you're like, okay, right. Or like guys.
The airline kiosk person. You're like, come, I mean, this isn't...
There was a tweet that was like, my grandpa's always saying that we get so pissed about all the smallest things, but he just called the guy at Baskin Robbins a limp dick jabroni because he ran out of rainbow sprinkles.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And that's what they do.
It does seem that...
It's so funny.
Making a big deal out of small stuff versus you maybe make a big deal out of the big stuff.
Right.
That'd be cool.
That'd be kind of nice. It's funny because it feels like all the shit that they have historically made fun of millennials for, like, your generation's so used to getting participation trophies. And it's like, we were... 5 when we got participation trophies from you.
From you.
So,
exactly.
Like, what are you?
You gave it to us.
I don't know why I'm being blamed for that. Yeah. Like, what the fuck, dude? Okay.
Yeah, this is.
I gotta get going. But...
I think this is gonna be a 1,000-part series on hating boomers. So, this is another. This is.
All right. Dog boobs, officially.
I'm out.
Adios.
Adios. The slow saunter out the door by Dog Boobs. So, this is another. This is just. I love this series where. The 4-panel meme where you see it increasing in kind of gravity of whatever the first intent is. So usually you see this as like the mind blown one where you see like kind of the guy with his kind of mind control. And then by the end of it, it's like a fucking DMT like explosion. But young folks these days have no idea how the world works. This is the top panel. Then the next panel is, college isn't expensive if you work a summer job and stop buying iPods every week. The third panel, you need to pound the pavement, hand deliver your resume on creamy hardstock paper. And the fourth one is, unless you copy and paste this message at midnight tonight, Facebook will take ownership of all of your photos. I hereby deny and assert my right under. So, but again, it's just like one of those things where you just don't, the ineptitude. You know what this is, actually? This is an ineptitude about the internet. I'm gonna make that stance. This is the thing that makes the okay boomer thing so frustrating, is the fact that there's I know what's best because of this technology, which is now out of date and out of touch.
Yeah.
And we go, but what about the internet? And they go, and then they start spreading fucking fake facts from the Daily Caller. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go, oh, you guys don't understand.
Yeah.
But you still think you do.
I mean, even just watching the news for the boomer population, it feels old fashioned for our generation. It's like these kind of media outlets have just sort of picked a side, and they're like feeding you what you want to hear over and over again. And that's their business plan. And like, if you don't see that now, at least know what it is.
Totally.
Like, I don't mind watching the news, but I watch it with. The first thing I do is look at what it is.
Right, exactly.
I go, this is from the New York Times. This is from Fox. This is from the Daily Mail, whatever.
Right.
And then I go, okay, I'm going to get this kind of a story with this kind of a slant.
Yeah, and also to me, thinking about where the facts may be in the story. and right. where is an opinion. I think being and able then to seeing where the facts that, right?
aren't being mentioned totally. Too. There's a lot of like non-facts. Totally. You go like, okay, I see you didn't talk about this. Now I'm curious. Like, exactly. And so it's being, and I think we're a savvier news generation in a way. Right. I mean, I'm very like cynical and I question anything that I see on a computer.
For sure.
I'm just like, okay, where's it coming from? What's your angle? What are you trying to get out of it?
Totally agree.
And I don't think that generation thinks like that.
Not at all. Here's another headline, which is a boomer point of view wrapped up in one headline. It's great that you just got a raise. This is from the USA Today, by the way. It's great that you just got a raise, but it just might hurt the stock market and the economy. Which is, again, I mean, I feel intense anger and frustration when I'm reading these. And I don't know why. I know why, because it's infuriating, but I'm frustrated because we've let ourselves get to this point as a society. And like, we're again, you know, we're coming up on the election. I tend to be pretty pro Bernie because I just feel like we need to fucking reset on so many things. But
I think I don't know. They say Biden's got the best chance, but it's not Warren. Based on New York Times'
I heard that yesterday. Poll. Yeah,
but it feels like it could be Bernie also, right. And I think enough people are like fired up, and Bernie's the guy to get them more fired up.
Well, I think Bernie represents. The Bernie represents what we're talking about, right? I don't think nobody's looking at Biden and being like, he's going to fix all the institutional problems we've built over time.
He's the boomer's guy.
He's the boomer's guy. Exactly. Yeah. Like, he's the boomer's guy. And I think that
I like that Pete Buttigieg too.
Pete Buttigieg is great for a lot of different reasons. Like, he's a little bit more of like a good middle ground dude. But Bernie, I think
he's like a sleeper cell.
Right.
He's like a, you know, he's got some millennial tricks he doesn't want to talk about because he wants the boomer vote too.
I mean, I think that Bernie just is the kind of person who is going to take an executive action to overturn Citizens United, you know?
Yeah, and Bernie's the most exciting vote. I mean, fuck it.
You know? I mean, that's we're kind of at that fucking point. I mean, you say that kind of flippantly, but like, no, we are at that point.
That's
like,
how Trump got elected.
Well, that's how Trump got elected, but we're also like, we are kind of at that point where things are so fucked and things are so dire and like, just all this shit is just crumbling around us.
Are we ready to announce that we're a pro Bernie pod?
Are we
on the Yang Gang or what?
I mean, well, but this is the thing. I think like Yang Gang,
because we control a lot of sway on this pod.
So we do. Yang
so
Gang,
once we pick
Bernie, and I think that to some degree Buttigieg, but mostly Yang Gang and Bernie kind of represent the same idea, which is like radical rethinking of the system at large, right?
Yang Gang's his ideas are fun to listen to because they're so future thinking that you're like, how is nobody else talking about this shit?
Right.
Like, totally. this is what's going to affect everybody under a certain age, like the next generation. That's why he's cool. I mean, the Asian vote too feels strong.
I don't know if it's. I mean, do you think Yang Gang is an Asian vote thing, though? I think he's.
I think it's like a millennial tech thing, but I think you also maybe get the Asian with it.
This is an amazing, amazing comic I just sent you, based on somebody's tweet. But it's a millennial and a boomer, of course. So the millennial says, "I'm getting a tattoo." The boomer says, "A tattoo will negatively affect your future." Then they kind of stare at each other, and the millennial goes, "Cut your carbon emissions," and the boomer says, "No." Which is, it sums it up. I mean, this is, I don't hate all boomers. I just absolutely despise the mentality that has been propagated through the boomers.
There's also something else going on. I mean, you know, I think the boomers were idealistic of their time. And now they're at a place where they're comfortable and they have what they have, and nobody wants to give up what they have.
Totally.
Nobody wants to give up their power.
Exactly.
And we're going to be the same way. You know, when you got nothing, it's easy to be a rebel.
Well, this is
when you got everything, it's really hard to give it up. And
totally.
And every generation kind of goes through this thing of like, when you do become the man, like, and people come for your shit,
right?
You're going to probably push back too. And it feels like a natural sort of human characteristic that's supersedes the whole like generational boomer millennial whatever, but
I don't think this is the thing that I think is really important for us to remember is like we will be in this situation, hopefully. Right. I hope that I get to the point where I have to juggle with the reality of giving up something that I've worked very hard for the benefit of society. We're already in this situation. And like, I think that there's an element of like, are you willing to sacrifice all these things? And my answer, generally speaking, is like, yes, if we all get to be more equitable and it fixes most of our things, I'm happy to provide some of those things. The problem, though, is the boomer, okay boomer mentality. I think it all, again, boils down to classism more than anything, where, yes, it is an ageism thing, but like what we're really saying is, hey, boomers, stop protecting billionaires, stop protecting millionaire like business owners, stop protecting the things that have completely fucked us, because like we're not trying to take like boomers' money who like lives on 20 grand a year in a trailer park in Texas, right? Like right. Who may be a racist piece of shit and may talk smack about millennials, but like that's not the point. We're trying to overcome I'm trying to get over fucking Citizens United. I'm trying to get over I'm trying to get over the fact that there are, I was listening to a story today about how there are Uber drivers that work 45 hours a week and live in vans, and then they're protesting outside of the investors for Uber right now who are just making bundles of money, right? Who live in fucking billionaire mansions. And like, I understand that. That is how the world works. I get it, right? But like, we cannot sacrifice the people who have to work to get to that point. And the people who are working right now as millennials, unless you're doing crazy shady shit, you're never going to be able to get that wealth. Or unless you have rich parents. And I think that we've just created we've created this aristocracy caste system through capitalist wealth management and growth, which I think we just have to topple, because we look at places like Russia and like India's kind of caste system, historic caste system, and China, whatever, like really ashamed that they exist, that we see these people that are living a broken world because of a built-in systematic classist or classism, and we're falling in the same trap here. It's because of boomers.
What countries like have avoided, I guess, socialist European socialism, like countries have sort of like kept things more balanced? Is that the example?
I mean, it's hard to say, because I think that there's a lot of places that have, but there are also places that have a lot of problems. One could argue that France has, to some degree, some level of interest. France has some interesting policies, like they have the, you know, it's illegal to like email about work after six thing or whatever, which I think is interesting and important. I think that people think of French people as like kind of like high intellectual elitists. But I'm also like, if you raise up the bottom half of your society to the point where everybody is educated and everybody has taste, you're going to get a bunch of elitists, because good. Like people should be discerning about their tastes because you've raised them up, right? Like we are the exact opposite, where like our lowest, our bottom is fucking low, right?
It's like third world.
It's third world. And I think that, you know, people point at Sweden sometimes, but Sweden has a lot of racism issues, which I understand, because they're, you know, I don't think America can really ever compare itself to Sweden, because our society is not built the same way. I mean,
like five people. And
I mean, there's a race. It's a race of people, right?
Yeah, and they're super good looking.
Yeah. And I think that they're also kind of isolated on the northern part of the world and whatever. But
the other classism no one's talking about is good looking versus ugly.
Oh, there's a lot of different kinds of classism, man. But yeah, I mean, I think that this is, I'm ranting. I don't mean to rant, but I don't mean to rant, but I think that they, oh my God, this is insane. This is another one. Millennials just need to work harder. This is a post again, like another post here. Millennials just need to work harder. I make it on minimum wage just fine, right? Is what the post is. And then my internship boss was talking to me about how he had to work in a mail room to make ends meet during college where he is. Only made $6 an hour, and then $6 an hour in the equivalent salary from January 1980 is what this post is, has the same buying power of $18.73 in January 2017. So this is why we're all angry about minimum wage, right? It's because the buying power of minimum wage is ineffective.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, if we were to make the minimum wage $19 or whatever now, people would lose their goddamn mind. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it would companies couldn't afford it, and you know, it's expensive to run a business, and you just would. I don't know if it's the city governments that have to like lower their overall tax costs or what it is, but yeah, I don't know. It seems like people aren't making enough money. You're making what, $70 a day at like a low income job at like a restaurant,
right?
How do you do anything with $70? I mean, that's like, I don't know. You need to be making at least $200 a day.
I mean, it cost me $70 to fill up my gas the other day.
Yeah.
You know? And so.
So what are you saying? You said something earlier that we're going to have to start doing some nefarious things to get ahead. I kind of perked up when you said that. I'm thinking, what are we thinking? Like crypto, guns, drugs?
I mean.
Become big wave surfers like our buddy Laird? How are we going to think ourselves out of this one?
I mean, this is kind of the idea of China in a lot of ways, right?
We're moving to China.
Well, this is kind of what China offers. They offer a way to make a lot of money outside of the parameters of America, right?
For who?
But this is the question. I mean, this is why the Chinese controversy is so fascinating, is because the China kind of offers a way in, right? And they go, for the Chinese government. Like that, everything you do in China is for the Chinese government.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, you could be selling TVs to fucking, you know, like to people on the Siberian border, right? It's still, if it's happening in China, it's for the Chinese government because of the way their society is built. So
how does that help us little guys?
Well, it gives you money. I mean, that's the thing. It's like it lets you live the kind of middle class to upper middle class American dream by getting mad cash. You just have to sacrifice a lot of fucking interesting integrity, right? Or at the very least, you're contributing to a potentially bigger, you know, bigger problem. I mean, you also are hearing a lot about, I mean, a lot of the companies that are these tech companies now that I think have kind of designed our world, apart from somebody like Facebook. You know, we just saw this. A lot of people are talking about
breaking up Facebook.
Well, we're talking about WeWork was the big one that people have been mentioning, where WeWork, they were about to have an IPO go public, but the value crapped out because people that were looking at it go like, holy shit, you guys are just taking out loans on everything.
Yeah.
You guys don't make any fucking money. Like
That's a lot of startups.
Most startups are like that. So they end up borrowing and borrowing. I mean, this is an interesting story about Theranos, right? Is like they're kind of the ones that it didn't work for, but they were doing it right. Like they were doing what they're supposed to do, which is build a fucking wild company on dreams and ambitions and catchphrases.
Have super arrogant dreams and be arrogant about those dreams.
And then eventually.
And have everyone go like.
Maybe they're right.
I like your attitude.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Now my approach to business is probably why I'm not a wealthy magnate.
Right.
Is because I'm not confident ever. I'm like, I don't know. Like trying to make sure this works. You know, I'm like not rolling in guns a-blazing. Like this is going to change everybody in the world's life. Like that's the cocky. I would never say that, but that's kind of what an investor wants to hear. And it's counterintuitive because it's like, based on what? Like, are you selling anything?
Right.
I don't know. I think whatever.
It's tough, man. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I think the answer, I don't know.
Maybe rare gemstones, rare treasure.
I mean, I think there are always going to be ways to make money. There are always going to be ways to push society forward. It's really hard to do it without being cynical, of course, but I think we're just in a time.
What's wrong with cynicism? I was thinking about this the other day because I like being cynical because it feels like there's a lot of good jokes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you always like to say on this podcast, like, I don't want to be cynical. And I was thinking we were going to have this conversation. So I was having it in my head and I was going while I was doing the dishes. Okay. What's the problem with cynicism? Obviously.
It's a good question, actually.
If it gets you to a better outcome eventually, I guess what I would call cynicism is like maybe critical thinking or looking at the world with a critical eye. In a way to get to maybe a truth that we can then improve on. And it can come across as probably cynical, but I think the intention for me would be to find a truth and then improve on something that's not working quite well through cynicism.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think maybe...
Versus like living like, you know, like with rose-colored glasses and like some kind of fluff and enthusiasm. It's like, well, that doesn't really help either. So...
Well, I think it's easy to be... Cynicism can... become a downer, right? Which is I think is important. I always think that
socially that is a bummer.
My thing is my like philosophical point of view tends to be optimistic nihilism is what I say, or positive nihilism. And I think it's kind of similar to the cynicism thing, where it's like if you were to say like I'm an optimistic cynic, then that basically is like everything is like
that's
the recognition
a good way
that everything is fucked and everything is falling apart and we have some massive problems, right? The recognition and acknowledgement of that, but then through that acknowledgement saying like
to make an improvement.
I mean, this is one of those things where it's like we have an infinite amount of trash in LA and it's fucking dirty and it's disgusting. And for me to say it's not that, I'm lying to myself. But however, I can say
yes.
Within that, there's an interesting opportunity to create new things that can recycle that in new and interesting ways.
This is what bugged me about LA specifically as an example. It's like you see a politician, Mayor Garcetti, being like, LA is great. We have this fantastic city. You're like, I get that it's sunny,
right?
But if you're not being critical and a little bit cynical about the state of affairs, how are we going to improve it? And like, if you can't start there, when is it going to get better? And then you feel more hopeless because it's not going to get better if you can't even see the problem, right?
Well,
it's like that, you know, the parent who's the alcoholic who's like, everything's fine. And then they're like driving their car through your driveway.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, no, you have to admit what the problems are before you can fix them. And I think for me, it's like,
Optimistic cynical. I mean,
that's
positive
my approach.
Nihilism or optimistic cynicism.
Yeah. Because we're all worker bees that want to like make it better, but you got to also identify where it's going wrong.
Yeah. I mean, this is, again, it's like, I don't think it benefits anybody to be like, LA is perfect. Or like, this has also always largely been my stance about patriotism, right? Where I think that patriotism is a really slippery slope, because it's really easy to be like, God bless America, be like, no, don't God bless America, it's a fucked up place. But that I'm not saying I'm not excited to live here and that I don't want the best for America. I'm saying I don't want to just arbitrarily say God bless America when it's a broken ass fucked up system where Citizens United has ruined everything and our like perpetual love of Reagan has created a lot of problems that we are struggling to get out of right now. I want to say I would like for America to be better, right? And I believe in America as a principle and as a place. I believe that like it's a very uniquely special society and world and whatever. And I think that there, like, I love the dream that America proposes, but I think that that dream needs to be mitigated with the things that have created all the problems so that we can then fix the problems. Like, trash is the best example. Like,
yes.
We have so much fucking trash.
Seems to be on everybody's mind now.
But it's an opportunity to honestly make something that recycles it. And I don't mean that like we need to recycle. I mean like you drive down around downtown Los Angeles and I look at all the trash on the side of the road and I'm just like, that's free stuff, right? And I don't mean that's like free stuff for me to be like, I'm going to find a fucking hat in there and wear my hat. I mean, I'm going to look at that and I'm going to be like, how do I take all that garbage and recycle it by literally like turning it into blocks or like burning it down into something that could then be like molded in a different way, or like, you know, like there, in theory, there's some opportunity to rebuild based on what we've created. Like we create all this waste, but the problem is not that we're creating the waste as much as it's that we're not using the waste in a constructive way.
Yeah.
Right. And this is maybe a delusional thought based on a science that I don't understand. I think it largely is, but I think this is something I've been thinking a lot about because it just seems like it's in a lot of ways, it's free resource. You know what I mean? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but like even fucking shit, like literally, like if we were to walk down by a homeless encampment and be like, all this homeless people shit everywhere. Oh, gross. Be like, in theory, that fertilizes plants. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we can look at it as just like, wow, there's shit everywhere. Or you could be like, I mean, if you literally took human waste to fertilize a garden to beautify Los Angeles, that's kind of the greatest metaphor in the world. You know what I mean?
So we put porta potties downtown and we collect the shit every week and we call it human shit.
Right.
And we like sell it in bags at Home Depot. That'd be pretty
I mean,
cool.
It sounds
what
insane.
Do you do? I sell human shit.
It sounds crazy, but like these are some of the things we have to start thinking about, right?
Yeah.
And these are the things you think about in dire situations, right? Because, and I don't know, again, it's like, I don't know, but like if you're thinking about manure, just raw manure, it's like manure technically, like that's, people use horse shit to fertilize their gardens.
Oh, yeah.
That's like what it is. And it smells awful and it's whatever. But like, in theory, that is a way to rejuvenate a lot of problems we have. So we look at all this trash that's populating Los Angeles and we go, well, what are we going to do with all this trash? It'd be like, fucking gather it and do something better than just leaving it there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. Just go fucking fix it. Use tax money to pay homeless people to go pick up shit and make fucking new stuff. Like, I don't know. It seems crazy.
I think you
but
could
like,
also have like a identifying digit on every piece of plastic that's made that then would get taxed back to the company that made it if it ended up in public. So like there's like a redeemable point system
right.
where it's like, if I find this on the street, Coca-Cola plastic,
right?
Even though you didn't put it there, you technically started this thing.
Right.
I'm going to take it, bring it back. You owe me like 2 cents. And you put the onus back on these companies that are making it, which I think would then force them right away to make things that are disposable in a better way. Like once money comes into play and you can lose money with it,
yeah,
it's game over plastic.
Totally.
Right. And
totally.
So it's like, I you know, obviously like Coca-Cola owns politics, I'm sure. So they would never allow that to happen. But like, you know, a city like San Francisco or LA might pass something like that. If I find your garbage here, I can trace it. There's a fingerprint,
yeah.
right?
I mean, Garcetti,
put a fingerprint on things.
Garcetti is a Green New Deal guy. So
Garcetti is a fucking loser who hasn't done anything. But
well, I mean, he's
the city's gotten worse under his watch, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder. I mean, I think that there are certain things like he is like they just bought the largest solar station in the world or something like that.
The city?
Yeah. So the idea is that, you know, by 2030, I think we're supposed to have half of the city's going to be running on solar.
No brainer.
And then, well, I mean, I like to think that, but like we also simultaneously as a country just pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement. So it's like, yeah. like that's the tough thing about this is like, you know, I think I remember.
Maybe we get the homeless guys to wipe the glass plates.
Well, I mean, it's in general, we need to provide. I mean, what do we even mean when we say homeless guys? I mean, I think that's such a loaded statement because I think there are people that are homeless because they can't afford homes. There are people that are homeless because there are serious mental health resources that have evaporated. There are homeless people because other cities don't have resources and LA maybe has a little bit more, even if it's just like warmth, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, there's so many reasons why these things happen, but at the end of the day, it's all because of fucking rampant
baby
bullshit capitalism and boomers, dude. Like it honestly is that. Like we don't need billionaires. We don't need them, right? There's no reason why we should have, why Jeff Bezos should have the amount of money that he has. I get that he's made that money. I get that he's worth that money. But like, we have way too many problems for us to have fucking billionaires on this world, right? Doesn't make any sense.
Seems like a guy like that could
fix almost everything.
Yeah.
Like literally fix almost everything. And this is, you know, and I mean, this is the thing about fucking Bill Gates. It's like, I love what Bill Gates is doing in Africa. It's great. Dude.
Was he raping kids over there too?
we just need to do more things here. I mean, I think it's just we need to fix so many of the things that we've messed up.
And yeah,
I
do
think
like that, the Bill Gates, you know, speed train.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I mean, that's only cost like $100 million or whatever. Like, just fucking boom.
Yeah.
That was like a rat farts paycheck in your life, you bajillionaire.
I mean, what do you gain? I mean, maybe, I don't know. I could be, I don't, you know, what'd be nice. You know, here's an interesting innovation and we're going to end this cause I have to leave, but
are you singing, Limp Bizkit?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice?
No, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we, this is an insane thought to end on. And then we're not even going to do randoms today cause we're just ranting off the fucking rails, but,
it's this new coffee machine.
I know it's this new coffee machine, but wouldn't it be nice if we all knew the exact date we were going to die so that we could get rid of all of our money when that happened? Because one of the, like, if Bill Gates was like, I know I'm going to die on June 15th, 2072, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s.
He'd be like 180.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right.
He will.
Yeah. Yeah. But in like, you know, in the 2080s or 2070s, he's going to be like, I got all this cash. I'm going to give my family 10% of it, they'll be stoked forever. But I got to get rid of all this other stuff before I die. So I'm going to start fucking giving it to the things I need.
Yeah.
Right.
It'd be cool if you're Bill Gates, just as like a fuck around project, be like, I'm going to build the California speed train. Right. Just going to do it.
Right.
I'm just going to start walking around and being like, hey, you live here? I'll buy your house. It's worth $100,000. I'll give you $1 million. And someone be like, sweet deal. I'm out of Bakersfield or whatever.
Yeah.
And he could probably just do it.
Yeah.
Because he's just got like the ATM machine to back him up.
Right.
Be kind of, I don't know. It feels like a fun project for somebody that's just a kajillionaire to like be like, I'm just going to do something crazy.
Agreed. All right. Well, this became an absolute rant session, which is fine.
You bring up boomers and it's your dad freaks out.
We had to get that last week where we weren't talking about this stuff. We had all max it out here. I got a couple of randoms. Let's end on a couple of randoms because
we can't not leave. You know?
Yeah. Love Island, Australia. Don't know anything about that. But
Love Island, is that like the TV show?
Oof. Oh. Mario Kart.
I just landed on Love Island TV.
Wait, what? Oh, that's suspicious.
They're listening, right?
That's very suspicious. Here's a good one for everything that we've just talked about. Budget food. Easy oats, carrot pancakes. So this is about making good food without having to spend an insane amount of money.
This is how millennials have to think.
Yeah. Leftovers for breakfast. Tomato, spinach, and onion soup topped with breadcrumbs and Parmesan.
Delicious. The other thing, awesome. Yeah, just throw it all in a stir fry and 2 eggs on it. It's pretty cheap.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, this is us ranting and ranting about boomers and kind of the fall of America and capitalism, which is fine. Sometimes this happens. I think we're going to continue to revisit this boomer thing because it's a fucking hot meme right now. And glad to be back. I know it was only a week away, but it was, you know.
Wait a minute.
What?
There's a sub called Friends.
Right.
And you just submitted a sub to, did you read it?
Right.
Hank and Chuck in real life, which I just saw randomly on the top of Friends.
Oh, I think Friends.
How does that work?
I think Friends might be people that you follow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what's going on here?
What's happening?
My kids are on Reddit.
Cool. Yeah, those are real photos of your children. All right.
Cool. Sweet.
Well, this is Did You Reddit? My name is It's Your Dad.
That over there is Dog Boobs.
Woo, ha ha.
And I'm My Free Day.
Here talking about the fall of the American capitalist system.
One generation.
Okay, boomers. Yeah.
One generation made out like bandits.
Yeah, goddamn right they did. All right, we'll be back next week with another episode of Did You Read It? See you.